Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Just this afternoon, President-elect Donald Trump put out this tweet. He said, quote, "The United States must greatly strengthen and expand its nuclear capability until such time as the world comes to its senses regarding nukes." Trump did not signal what prompted his tweet, but the BBC reports that it came just hours after Russian President Vladimir Putin met with his military advisors. And the BBC reports that Putin said Russia needs to, quote, strengthen the military potential of strategic nuclear forces, especially with missile complexes that can reliably penetrate any existing missile defense systems. Now, any expansion of either nation's nuclear arms would effectively reverse years of anti-proliferation efforts. It was as recently as February 2011 that the latest U.S.-Russia treaty to limit strategic nuclear weapons went into effect. That agreement is known as the New START Treaty, and Gary Seymour led the American group that negotiated it. He's also served as President Obama's White House coordinator for arms control, and he's currently executive director for research at the Belfer Center for Science and International Affairs at Harvard's Kennedy School of Government, and he joins us now. Gary Seymour, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you, Meghna. Thanks for having me on.
So there was sort of this pulse of reaction over President-elect Trump's tweet this afternoon. What's your first reaction to it, of him saying that the U.S. should greatly and expand its nuclear capability?
Well, I don't take it very seriously until we see how his actual policies come out. And whoever was elected was going to have to spend money to modernize the U.S. nuclear triad. We've reached the point where the main systems we use to deliver nuclear weapons, bombers and missiles and submarines, are going to be reaching the end of their life cycle over the next 10 to 15 years. So we're going to be spending as much as $1 trillion to modernize those forces. And any president would have to do that. So we've got to wait and see exactly how Trump translates his tweets into real policy before we can make any judgments.
Well, regarding the New START Treaty, which you negotiated with Russia, I'm seeing that there were key targets, reduction targets, that both the U.S. and Russia have to meet by 2018. Are the nations on track for that?
Yes. The New START Treaty sets a cap of 1,550 deployed strategic warheads for both sides. And the U.S. military is very confident that 1,550 nuclear weapons are more than enough for nuclear deterrence. And the Russians are also satisfied with that level. So I would be very surprised if either the U.S. and Russia would want to exceed that limit. What's going to happen instead is replacing older bombers with new bombers, older subs with new subs, older missiles with new missiles. The Russians have been doing this for a long time because their forces were wearing out sooner than ours, and now we're going to be entering a cycle where we'll have to do it over the next 10 to 15 years.
Well, I'm seeing that the BBC is reporting that President Vladimir Putin there was talking about carefully monitoring changes in, quote, the balance of power and political military situation, especially along Russian borders. Could he have possibly been referring to U.S. missile defenses in Eastern Europe?
The Russians are very concerned about U.S. missile defenses, not only in Europe, but also our national missile defense system. The Russians, I think it's very alarmist, but they're convinced that U.S. missile defenses could be used as an effective tool to negate Russia's nuclear forces in a crisis. For example, the Russians calculate that if the U.S. launched a first strike, we would destroy the vast majority of Russian nuclear forces, and whatever limited forces were left wouldn't be able to penetrate U.S. missile defenses. I can't imagine any president taking a risk like that, but when the Russians do their worst-case assessment, it makes them very nervous, and that's why they've been investing a lot of money in modernizing their nuclear forces to make them much less vulnerable to a U.S. first strike.
You know, if I may just jump in here, Gary Seymour, I feel like, you know, one of the things that President-elect Trump said during the campaign as a candidate, he said a lot of contradictory things about nuclear proliferation. One is that he does believe, he said it several times, that it's one of the biggest challenges and threats the world faces. He said that. But then also in March of this year, a couple of times, he said he wasn't so sure if proliferation was a bad thing, if Saudi Arabia or South Korea or Japan, built up a nuclear arsenal. And then later in March, he told CNN that proliferation is going to happen anyway. It's only a question of time. So, take your point that it's hard to imagine a U.S. president, doing what you had hinted earlier. But how are we to interpret the talk that we've been hearing both earlier this year and now from the man who's to be the president of the United States and from President Putin, just the very way they're talking about nuclear weapons?
Well, I think we've learned not to take President-elect Trump's campaign statements very seriously. They're not a clearly well-thought-out set of viewpoints. He does say a lot of contradictory things, not just on nuclear weapons, but on many issues, foreign and domestic policy. So I think we've got to wait and see how his actual policies are carried out. And it will be some time, I think, before that becomes apparent, because you have a new team coming in. There are some internal tensions and disagreements among that group. They've never worked together. So I would imagine that we'll see, it'll be some time before we can really make any judgments about what Trump's actual policies are toward nuclear weapons and many other things as well.
Well, Gary Seymour is the Executive Director for Research at the Belfer Center for Science and International Affairs at Harvard's Kennedy School of Government. He also led the American interagency group that negotiated the New START Treaty with Russia back in 2010. That treaty went into effect in 2011. Gary Seymour, thank you so very much for joining us today.
Thank you, Magnus. Happy to do it.
Well, let's turn now to Ken Kimmel. He's the president of the Union of Concerned Scientists. He's also former commissioner of the Massachusetts Department of Environmental Protection, and he joins us now in the studio. Ken Kimmel, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
Well, you heard our conversation just now with Gary Seymour. The Union of Concerned Scientists has been calling for an end to nuclear weapons testing and deployment since, the 1970s.
Yes.
So just your first reaction on what the president-elect has tweeted and Gary Seymour's seemed to stress that we shouldn't be too worried about it.
Well, I would say I think all of us, including the media, actually read too much into Donald Trump's tweets and pay too much attention to them, to be honest. I'm not going to read too much into it. I will say this, though, that to the extent the tweet is calling for a buildup as opposed to a modernization, but a buildup of our nuclear weapons, it's the year 2016. The Soviet Union is gone. The Berlin Wall fell 25 years ago. We are not in an arms race with Russia or anyone else. The only legitimate purpose, if there is one, for nuclear weapons is to deter an attack. Our military has made it clear for many years that we have more than enough nuclear weapons to credibly deter anyone from attacking us with nuclear weapons. So we don't see any need for a nuclear buildup, and we're quite certain that we can't afford one as well.
I mean, Gary Seymour was talking about spending $1 trillion in order to modernize the extant arsenal.
Yeah, I think there's no reality to that number, and I can't imagine that Congress would appropriate that kind of money.
Ken Kimmel, we originally had invited you into the studio to talk about the Department of Energy overall and the appointment or the naming of Rick Perry to be as the nominee for the future Secretary of Energy. And I still want to have that conversation in the couple minutes that we have, because I'm curious, because obviously nuclear falls under the purview of the Department of Energy. I mean, your thoughts about Rick Perry as the person that President-elect Trump has named to that cabinet position?
Sure. Well, I think, first of all, you have to look at the nomination of Rick Perry as part of a trio, because we also have the nomination of Rex Tillerson, the CEO of the world's largest oil and gas company, as Secretary of State, and the nomination of Scott Pruitt, the Attorney General of Oklahoma, who has literally turned his Attorney General's office into something of a legal defense fund for the oil and gas industry. So add to that Rick Perry, former governor of Texas with extensive ties to the fossil fuel industry, and one really has to be concerned about a cabinet that is of, by, and for the oil and gas industry.
Mm. And, but if I could just jump in here for a second, to be fair, I mean, as governor of Texas, Rick Perry brought a lot of wind power to Texas, for example.
Right. And actually, with respect to Rick Perry, it's a mixed bag. So that is something that we've noted about his record and written about and we're encouraged by. He led an investment of about $7 billion in public funds to build out transmission lines. And now Texas generates much more wind energy than any state in the country. Thousands of people are paid with good jobs in that industry. Landowners get royalties, and the energy is so cheap that they literally give it away at night. So that's a huge success story. And we are cautiously optimistic that Rick Perry could convince his new boss, Donald Trump, that transitioning to a clean energy economy is actually really good for the American economy. It is not something to be feared or to be pared back. So that's the good side. That's the good news. The bad news, though, is this. Rick Perry is a self-professed climate science denier. He's said that repeatedly. That is profoundly troubling when you think of the Department of Energy, which is our premier science and technology agency. I tried to think of an analogy for it, and the best I could come up with is it's a little bit like having a surgeon general who denies that cigarettes cause cancer. Hmm. So that's really worrisome, and one has to hope that the Rick Perry, who was governor of Texas, who brought the wind energy to Texas, is the one who shows up for work and not the climate science denier.
Well, Ken Kimmel is president of the Union of Concerned Scientists. He's also former commissioner of the Massachusetts Department of Environmental Protection. He held that post between 2011 and 2014. Ken Kimmel, thank you so very much for joining us in the
My
studio
pleasure.
Today. And listeners, we just had two guests who told us that maybe the media pays a little too much attention to the tweets sent out by President-elect Donald Trump. I'm curious what you think about that. Send us a tweet. Yes, a tweet. But send us a tweet at Radio Boston and let us know if you agree or disagree. Because we also had, you know, for example, 8 years of President Obama, and sometimes he was afraid to say things about race, for example, for fear that the media might read too much into it. But on the other hand, we now have President-elect Donald Trump, who doesn't seem to hold any of those same fears. Should we be looking in carefully into what the president-elect is tweeting or not? Guide us. Send us a tweet at Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.